15th year in the league. It never gets old, especially, you know, being out of work for 4 months. You know, perspective kind of changes a little bit. You know, back when you were young, you were like, man, why we got to go to OTA? Man, I wish I was home, man. And you sit on the couch for 4 months and it's like, man, I wish I was in OTA, man. You know, it's good dropping the kids off and it's good, you know, picking the kids up from school, but I want to go to work. I'll go to work. And, you know, the Washington Redskins called me, a month and a half ago and started talking and agreed to come here to Washington about a week and a day ago, and here I am. So excited to be here.
You can tell Von Miller's been in the league a long time and is an older guy, almost 40.
Yeah.
Because the Redskins called him. Not the Commanders, the Redskins. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori in Murad, can help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The Von Miller press conference today, and I'm not a big fan of playing press conferences unless it's breaking news, significant, live, breaking, developing news that we need to hear on the show. I think we can kind of cut things down, play clips, and react. That's kind of my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I almost think we should play the Von Miller presser today. I texted Darius as much while listening to it in real time because it was one of the best introductory press conferences just in terms of coming off, owning the room, really funny, high energy, great answers, smart answers, thought-provoking. Mm-hmm. Like, he just crushed it. You can tell, I mean, Von Miller is actually a guy who has studied Billy Beane in the offseason a couple of times because he wants to be a GM one day. And he's been in the league for many, many years now as a near 36-year-old edge rusher. He's been around the block. This is just the next stop for him on a journey that will ultimately and eventually result in him being enshrined in Canton in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know if it's his last stop, but it's a stop. But I just thought he killed it. I mean, he was so good today. All I thought about was like, this guy could do any media job he wants to do when he's done.
Yeah, there it is. Like, people eating out of the palm of his hand by the end of it. You could just, a guy that's that savvy, that's that sharp, not to mention, kind of to his point, he understands he's not Von Miller of 10 years ago. Who's who they were 10 years ago? I don't, you know, nobody is. But he gets it, that he still has something to offer, and it was the perfect marriage right here. And you came away just loving the guy. He was so awesome.
I now know why when we got Ryan O'Halloran on, who had covered him in two cities,
yep.
When I've heard Nikki Javala talk about him in the past, who covers the Commanders now, but had previously covered him with the Denver Broncos. I now know why they talk about Von Miller the way they do. Like O'Halloran, when he was on our show last week, said,
raved about him.
One of the best guys in a locker room that he's ever been around. One of the most media savvy, media relatable guys that you can find. And I think what he said is beloved. Like maybe the most popular teammate he's ever covered in terms of just people having nothing but good things to say about someone. And I totally get it now. What's not to like,
yeah,
in terms of him at
him,
the podium?
You know, doing post-game stuff before, heard him in locker rooms or different things, sound bites that make your way across NFL Network, ESPN or whatever. And I always go, I admired him from afar. Good player who seems to have a good head on his shoulders.
Here's how old he is. I was covering the team at the Combine when he was there to get drafted out of A&M. I remember being at his NFL Combine press conference in Indianapolis.
Wow, how about that?
Back when I was on the beat. So, yeah, this is a long, illustrious career. Now, again, I always say, because someone's listening in their car going, oh, come on. I mean, yes, he's had some transgressions and gotten in some trouble off the field or whatever. People that judge everyone by the worst decisions and the worst days and the worst thing they've ever done, allegedly, or had done, or in situations they've been in, if that's your prerogative, that's fine. It's just not how I operate. And I think good people are in bad situations and occasionally do bad things, and bad people can be in good situations and do good things and vice versa. But to me, what I know of him, just from in the last week, asking around, talking to players, talking to coaches, talking to front office people around the league, everybody loves this dude. And he steps up to the mic, and it's the best introductory press conference I've heard in years. Now, I will say the last amazing introductory press conference in Washington lore for me in Ashburn goes to Mark Sanchez. Mark Sanchez, who only would play one football game, I think Washington lost like 40-7 or something like that, and who wouldn't start again for the team and would soon be in the broadcast booth.
Oh, no.
So I'm hoping for a better Von Miller run on the back end of this press conference than the Mark Sanchez run.
More than one game.
But yeah. Do you remember the Sanchez Q&A?
Yes.
I think we played it on the show because it was just like so damn
like
good.
He, I mean, he's basically doing like Night at the Apollo. Like it was the 30-minute Comedy Central stand-up set. He was incredible.
I don't remember the specifics. Who does? He got brought in like the week before as a backup and then for some reason had to start. Where he was getting brought in midweek to start. I think it was, he was around for a few days, something happened, and then he had to start. Because it was that run of injuries where, like,
right. They were on their fourth or fifth
guy. McCoy went down, and somebody else goes down. Yeah, and so next thing you know, Mark Sanchez has been there for 5 days, and he's getting the nod to be the starting quarterback. And he had to step up to the podium on a Wednesday before a Sunday game. And I was like, if he plays half as good as that press conference was, Washington by a million.
It was the Alex Smith, obviously gruesome injury.
Right, then McCoy.
Then McCoy. Then was it Josh Johnson before Sanchez? Or Sanchez before Johnson?
Johnson started and won a game in Jacksonville. This would have been after that. Was it the same year that Josh Johnson started?
Same year.
Okay. Then I would say it was after that. No, you might have been before that, honestly. I know Josh Johnson was mid-December. Maybe they had two in the building, went to Sanchez. That went horribly, so they went to Josh Johnson.
I think that maybe
would happen. From what I'm seeing, it looks like he was signed to back up McCoy. And then
that makes more sense because they kept two. Whoever their OC was at the time, would it have been Kevin O'Connell? Knew him, I think, from New York or something. There was a link.
Matt Kavanaugh?
Okay. Was that the Bill Callahan time frame?
Yeah, so this is 2018. So this is still Jay. So Jay, they go 7-9.
Before Jay got fired. That was the year Jay got fired.
No, 2019 Jay got fired.
So then it's Jay. We got to get Jay on the horn to talk about Mark Sanchez.
Yeah. It's Jay Matt Kavanaugh. Defensive coordinator was?
What the hell was Jay doing?
Defensive coordinator was?
Joe Barry.
No.
After that?
Yeah.
2018
defensive coordinator was?
One of Chris Russell's guys. Who was that?
No, that was way after. That was before.
It's post Hazlitt. Went from defensive coordinator to like college position coach.
Oh, Greg Minuski.
That is correct.
Oh boy,
it was like a liaison to the scouting department at Kentucky.
Yeah, the assistant linebacker tape labeler.
So okay, that makes sense. So they kept two quarterbacks. Colt ends up being elevated to be the starter. Now you need to call someone off the street. Mark Sanchez was the call. Then Colt immediately got hurt because Colt always immediately got hurt the second he got an opportunity. And then Mark Sanchez goes, whoopsie-daisy, I'm about to start in an NFL game. But that presser was a 10 out of 10. I'm here to tell you, Von Miller today, better than Mark Sanchez was then. That was a 9.7 out of 10. Today was a 9.8. We should play that at 6 o'clock for people that may not have heard it. So come back if you've got things going on, but you'll hear Von Miller's presser today. It was just good. He was talking about why he wears number 24. He had this really good answer. He goes, like, dude, I've only worn two numbers. It's not that serious. You know, for so many people,
I know
it's the biggest deal. He said, I wore 58 my entire time in Denver. I went to L.A. and someone had 58. He just doesn't seem like a guy that's going to buy a number or ask for a number. He said, then I wore 40 with the Rams and the Bills. I came here, 58's taken, which is Jordan McGee. 40's taken, which I think is Tyler Owens, who's like a roster hopeful safety.
Right.
So if you're Von Miller, you could pretty easily just go to either one of those two guys. I'm pretty sure McGee would also play ball, even though he was a draft pick last year. But Owens was an undrafted free agent who's a special teams guy. You go to either of them and go, hey, bro.
Hey.
I'm about to sign you. My name is Von Miller. You'll be seeing me inducted into the Hall of Fame in a few years. There aren't any of your jerseys other than hanging in your parents' closet. I'm going to take that jersey from you if you don't mind, and I'll give you $10,000 for your troubles. He didn't want to do that. He's like, guys already had that jersey. Those are their jerseys. He said, I wore 5 in high school, and he wore 24 one time in his entire life because in college, him and a college teammate wore the number to honor a buddy of theirs that they previously had played with in high school who had been, I believe he said, paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically to honor him for one game in college, I'm sure they got fined or whatever happened because the NCAA sucks. But they wore the number 24. He said, between that, you know, this legacy of this player I played with in high school is important to me. The fact that I love Kobe Bryant. The fact that Champ Bailey is my guy, yeah, and he wore 24 here. The number spoke to me. That's what I'm going to go with. But that kind of insight where you could have just said, Champ Bailey wore it. I had a buddy that wore it at one point. It's like very, very different answer. Thought it was awesome.
Right. When you just go, how come you picked 24? Thinking we're going to go down the line of, should defensive ends have the number 24? And he gives this, as you said, this like engaging, thoughtful story and meaning behind it. Just who thinks in that level of degree? You know?
He also has the Josh Bell thing going. Like, have you ever heard Josh Bell talk? I know you have. He's been on the show.
Should be a college professor, that guy.
But not only that, that's not what I'm talking about. It's the sneaky, they're from Texas, and there's like this, like, kind of like this thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I'm making it, but there's way more.
It's
like
a subtle twang.
It's a subtle Texan, like, country sound. Shoot. Josh Bell's got that more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear Von Miller talk, and you're like, all right, I'm Von Miller. I can't do the voice, but it's a little bit more of that than you're expecting when you hear him speak. But he was funny. He was talking about how, so far, he thinks his biggest challenge is going to be not gaining weight because he's coming from Buffalo where there weren't that many great food options. And he's just driving along. He's like, y'all got Korean barbecue here. You want Korean barbecue? Head on over to Annandale, buddy. You'll do all right.
Got a couple spots right there. A little Honey Pig action talking about?
You want to sit down at Honey Pig and have yourself some fun?
Mm-hmm.
But I liked him. I just enjoyed the press conference. Now, the question is how much game you got left. Last year, he was very effective. The number I keep coming back to, because for me it's the most important thing, is that Von Miller still had the fastest get-off of any edge rusher in the league last year. To me, that says he can still play. Adam Peters in his presser to kick off camp said he put on the tape and he was shocked with how good Von Miller still is. Now, that's a scout watching football, seeing things through a scout's eye that I'm not going to see when I watch football. But here's where analytics come into play. I can look up the number of how fast you get off on a stopwatch. I don't need a scout's eye to see that. I can see that it was number one in the NFL at your position, and that tells me that you still have some twitch, you still have some burst, you can still get up the field. Then you can look at pass rush win rate. I got multiple places to do it. ESPN's got a metric, PFF's got a metric. He was top 10 in both. So did he have 12 sacks? No, he didn't play enough. He talked about that too, by the way, this transition from, I used to be an all-down guy. I used to get to set moves up in the first drive that I would use again in the third drive. I would think about this early in games. The fourth quarter, I'm going to go to something I haven't gone to because the last three times in this exact sequence, I've done A, and now he's expecting A, so I'm going to counter with B. And that's how he operated. But he said, I had to change my whole existence in Buffalo, being used less. Now I'm just coming off the bench shooting threes. I've got to give you my best every single play. You could just tell he is a thinking man's player. And if he can give them the ability to close, it's going to be a win.
So you mentioned Billy Beane earlier as he's kind of studied Beane. And in the movie Moneyball, which we've referenced a lot lately, there's a great moment.
Brandon Beane I was talking about, GM of the Bills.
I apologize.
If I said Billy, my bad.
I was thinking of Billy because of that. But anyway, you're right, Brandon Beane. But Billy Beane in the movie Moneyball, played by Brad Pitt.
If he followed around Billy Beane in the A's front office.
Yeah, it's a B name with Beane in the back. Now I'm all fatutzed. Anyway, let me get the story out, damn it.
What about Beans from
Butter Beane?
Even Stevens.
And Mr. Beane.
Yeah.
So he follows around Billy Beane to talk to Brandon Beane. Anyway, so Billy Beane in the movie, there's a great come to Jesus moment that he has with the actor that plays David Justice. I don't know how real the conversation was, but it sounds like it was probably dramatized off something real. Where David Justice still views himself as a star, right? And the reality is the Yankees are paying for him not to play for them anymore, right? In this moment. So he's now an A, and Billy Beane is asking him, I want you for the player you are, not for the player you were. Because who you are right now is actually really useful to us.
We'll take it.
They've under-identified or they've missed what you could actually still do. Here's what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. You fit perfectly. I understand. Eyes wide open. There are two players on this team that I think that fit this bill. I'm very aware that Deebo Samuel's not the same, 1,000-yard receiver, freight train superstar that he might have been a couple seasons ago. What he is better than what I had.
Yeah.
Same with Von Miller. I get that you're not 18-and-a-half sack Von Miller. If I was counting on that, I'd be a stupid, dumb idiot. You're not. What you are is the thing that he now understands that he is. And I think that's so valuable.